welcome back to Grandma's Basement. I'm your host, Sloan Brettholz. Today we're talking about art with Carly Anderson. She is an artist, friend, cat lover, cat mom. Carly, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Sloan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being on here. I'm so excited to talk about our topic today, but I'm more excited to see your beautiful face. It's on a screen, but it's still gorgeous. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, yeah. It's day 3010 of this Bananarama.
Of lockdown.
And yeah.
Well, at least you have a lovely husband and three beautiful kittens, cattens, to keep you company. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about art because, like, excuse me, I kind of like art, but I always feel too stupid to, like, understand it sometimes. My dad and I always go to contemporary art museums, and there's a specific museum, I believe, in Washington, D.C., that we dubbed the Weird Ass Museum because it is all contemporary art that's, like, I think you're aware of the type of contemporary art I'm talking about, which is like very like, there is no, like, I don't think there's a real thought behind it. It's just like, that's a sphere. Like that's a sphere that I'm sure it took a long time to make, but like, I don't know. But I feel really like stupid when it comes to that stuff. I'm like, do I not get it? Like, do I not get it? It's like, it's a ball. Like, I don't get it.
To be completely honest, you're probably thinking of the Hirshhorn. Is it like the brutalist? Yep, the Hirshhorn.
The fact that you freaking knew that. The fact that you knew, I was like, it's a ball. Like, I don't know. Like, but I interrupted you. Please go ahead.
To be completely honest, like, as an artist, as someone who has extensively studied art from you know, cave paintings up until now, I can tell you, I honestly don't understand a lot of contemporary art as well. I've also worked at the Whitney Museum, which is a...
I love the Whitney. I love the Whitney. That is one of my favorite places to go. I'm a member. I like to go there. Cool. Yeah. I used to like to go there a lot.
back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day when the earth was not as much on fire as it is right now.
Literally on fire.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like have, I guess, one, that you went to school for for art. I don't know if that is the proper, I always say like, I went for theater performance. Like that is what my degree says. So I don't know what your degree says on the paper, but
yes,
an art historian or just
so I have a Bachelor of Art, just kind of general art. I didn't go for a BFA, which is Bachelor of Fine Art, because I wanted to have more of a well-rounded education,
like a broad spectrum
art. So in that I did also take a ton of art history classes on top of my studio classes. Oh, wow. And then I also, I minored in anthropology.
Ooh, so like the store? No, I'm kidding.
yes.
You get to learn how to sell sweaters for $300. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about art school, but I know theater school was a lot of like breathing in each other's faces, which is so not COVID really regulations right now. Like I think back to that. Did you do any out of the box things in school that you're like, you know, it's like only art students will get this kind of like, I could give a breathing exercise to another actor and they're like, oh yeah, that's like Linklater. Like, that's like, whatever. I know what you're talking about.
Trying to think. I mean, I've seen all of my friends naked at this point. Just from us drawing each other, using as models, whatever, or just like
I okay. Whatever. So I am always fascinated with that the like the live sketches with the live models. Mm-hmm. I have zero self-confidence. So I could not even imagine doing that. But I think I would giggle. I mean, I'm sure you get used to it. I'm sure the first time is like, oh, that's a vagina. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would get used to it. I think I'd still find it like humorous because it's like, that's my friend. Like, you're not really supposed to see your friend. Like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I guess like normally you're not supposed to see your friends naked. I think everyone should see their friends naked, but like,
I agree.
I don't know how to, I don't know if I could like get past the sophomoric mind of mine to like be like, yes, this is serious. I'm
desensitized to it, but it's still, I'm still a 14-year-old at heart. Yeah. So I still twitter a little bit when I see mm-hmm. someone naked.
Yeah.
But I'm also so desensitized to it at this point. Like it's just whatever. Especially having worked in a contemporary art museum mm-hmm. where to get to my office I had to walk through a gallery that at one point there was a screen and you could go through and see different like digital collage of images. And one of them, as I was walking into my office one day, was a woman squirting on the screen.
Oh,
I'm like, oh
yes.
Okay.
Get her an OnlyFans. Let's go. Like, come on. She deserves that money. Well, yeah, I remember I wasn't there, but my dad experienced The Artist Is Here. I forget the name of the artist, but where she sat in the chair.
Marina Abramovic.
Correct.
Marina Abramovic.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Amazing.
And I remember my dad explaining to me the entrance to that exhibit was two people, one male and one female, facing each other, mm-hmm. completely naked. And there was just enough room in between them for a person to slip through. And that's how you entered this exhibit. I don't know if it was her exhibit, but an exhibit. And it was in the same day. So he kind of correlated it together. And you had to choose who you wanted to face and who you wanted to put your butt to. And my dad, being like a seemingly heterosexual man, was like, I don't know. Like, this is very, he's very tolerant, of course. But like, he was like, I feel, I don't know. I'm not a gentleman if I face the woman, and I don't want to invade anyone's privacy. And I'm like, Dad, just mm-hmm. walk through. Like, I don't know what, I don't know. But it's like, what is art, I guess, is the question of like, yeah, that's that it's anything that is an idea that you put into physical existence. I guess that, I guess I'm wondering what your definition of what art is.
My definition of art is that it is a manifestation of the zeitgeist.
Hell yeah, those buzzwords, zeitgeist.
So zeitgeist is, to define that, it's the spirit of the time.
Okay.
So whatever the spirit of the time is, art is a manifestation of that, because artists are ultimately influenced by their surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the zeitgeist right now is absolutely human rights, whether it be like racial tension and everything around that, as well as the ongoing climate crisis, poverty in the United States. Yeah.
A lot of hurt, a lot of
heavy
stuff. Yeah.
Women's rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. I
mental health.
Yeah. I don't know if the word excited is accurate or appropriate, but I'm very interested to see when I'm able to safely go back into a museum to see the work that does come of these past 5 years, honestly, of like the hate and the, you know, what is going to become of that? Because, you know, after every, I think of all the great works of art that people, like everyone talks about, it came from, I feel, after World War II or after World, like it's like every big event of suffering and hurt is also birthing a lot of art, really good ass art, you know, like real good art. Yeah. did somebody mention art? Yeah, Zeitgeist, that you blew me away with that. That is that your personal definition?
Because it's beautiful. That is my personal definition.
I love it. I love it so much. What is, I'm trying to think of, what is, I guess, the wildest thing that you have ever created? I don't know if wild is a weird, more, most out of the box of a everyday average Joe would walk by and be like, whoa, that's, I don't know.
In terms of pieces, I'm not really sure. I used to be very into street art and posting my work up as like wheat paste.
Yes.
And I have a couple of stories of like nearly getting caught by cops or stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Most of my pieces are pretty tame. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine recently, we were discussing our art, and he's a painter, and he described my work as being very punk rock.
Yes.
Despite being, you know, beautiful, dainty subjects, the lines, like the way that I print. I'm a printmaker.
I own one of your prints, and I haven't gotten a frame for it yet. It is, well, obviously I have no art up in my new apartment right now, but I love your work. It is, I'm going to put a picture of it up when I post this so everyone can see it. It is fantastic. I agree with punk rock. It's very,
like, my work is, it's the subject matter tends to be more dainty or fragile, but the way that I go about making it is so block printing, I use linoleum and then I carve it with linoleum knives, which in itself is almost kind of an aggressive action.
Yeah.
As opposed to painting, which is a little bit more gentle, I would say. But with block printing, it's a very aggressive action to cut into that linoleum.
Yeah.
And then when I print, so my big secret of being a printmaker is that I'm actually really bad at printing.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that at all. Come on.
So my studio is just my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a press or anything. So everything is printed by hand. And I'm not very good at printing. So that's why everything is off register.
But hey, that's, you gotta sell that. You say this is all intentional.
Everything. So that's what I did.
Yes. I love it. I think it's great. Was there any, I guess, what inspired you to kind of mix the two, gentle and harsh, aggressive, I guess the words you were using, mediums together?
A lot of my, so I am a classically trained artist, meaning that I went to art school and I learned a very academic way of creating art. I'm very masterful at making art, but then to make it my own, I learned different ways. And I first learned printmaking when I was in high school, and we kind of just had like a little project that we did in my art class. And then when I got into college, I decided I want to do it more, but we only offered one class every other year. So I took it upon myself. I talked to the department head to see if I could just use the press, and he's like, yeah, have at it. It's literally just sitting there gathering dust. Take all the ink and everything underneath it just so that it doesn't spoil. So he really encouraged me to take that into my own hands. And then when I finally was able to take a printmaking class, the teacher introduced us to block printing. And I fell in love with the motions of it and the creation of the block.
Is that it's when
sculptural.
You scrape, or is that, that's regular printing?
That's screen.
Screen printing. Okay. I have a couple
of
screen printing as well. So I go back and forth of like knowing how things are done. I'm like, which one is it? Yeah.
Block printing is essentially just like a big stamp.
Oh, like a I love stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I love stamps. I have to, that'll be maybe if people want to see that, I'll contribute to the supplies, but we'll make a print together. And it'll
yes,
be,
let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to design the grandma's basement logo, I'll what is the commission you for that? That'll yes. be fun. Something punk rock would be really cool. For and maybe sure. a cat. Maybe a cat will be in it. I don't know.
Cats and punk rock. Love it.
Yeah, cats and punk rock. I mean, that's life. What else do you? What else would anyone want? So let's take a break and we'll come back and get more into the artistic world. All right. So sounds we'll great. Be right back. Back. Hey, Carly. That was a lovely break that we took just then. So we're going to get into some more chit chat about art. I know maybe not everyone knows the life of a working artist, but I know you are a working artist. Would you like to enlighten us on what, I guess, the life of a working artist, the ups and downs, cons, pros? I mean, I don't know. I always hate that when people are like, so like, what are the pros and cons of being a comedian? And I'm like, fuck it, I don't know. I just love doing it. Like, shut up. Like, I don't know. But you know, if you would like to talk about that, that'd be great.
Definitely. So I am a working artist, but I do have a day job. Mm-hmm. I have a day job to feed my habit. Most artists that I know do have a day job unless they are like actual like gallery artists.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like, how, I guess, it's kind of a silly question because it's like, me as a comedian, people are like, oh, well, how do you like get on SNL? Like, I guess that would be like the sort of an equivalent to a gallery artist. And mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know. Like, if there was a way to do it, I'd do it already. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But I guess it's like, is there, it's, I guess it's all luck the same way that, you know, the acting comedy world is, but to be a gallery artist, I don't know. You got to like meet the right people.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, pre-Panini times, you would go to galleries and you would schmooze, you would drink the free wine,
yes.
eat the free hummus, you'd look at the art, you would talk to people, you would wear a fabulous outfit, you would pass out your business card and say, I'm an artist too, blah, blah, blah. You would make yourself known. But that's really difficult now that we can't really go into galleries in that same setting. Mm-hmm. Because it's definitely a, you have to be subtle about how you do it.
Yeah.
So for me, I kind of gave up my dreams of being a blue chip artist. So like the difference between blue chip and like a lower tier gallery is that blue chip is going to be your Gagosian, your Pace Gallery, your David Werner.
Like the big ones. We're talking like Broadway in theater terms. Yeah. This is like Broadway. We're at the New York Theater, the Beacon, like headlining. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So then for me, I go for lower galleries because honestly, my work is not what the blue chip galleries are looking for. My work is very expressive. It is very aggressive. It is, it's not a pretty thing to hang in your home.
So do you think that's what blue chip, I love this new terminology, blue chip galleries? It would be blue chip galleries or art?
Yes. Pieces. Blue chip galleries. Yes.
Blue chip galleries. Do you think they go after the pieces that, lack of a better term, are very generic and very...
They go after the pieces that sell.
Okay. See, that's when I get... I know it's all personal, you know, what you like, but it's like everything would sell. Like, to me, it's like if someone likes something, then they buy it. Like, I like your work, so I wanted to, a piece of it, so I bought it. Like, I get a little, but that's the same thing in every artistic field. It's like, what is going to go quote unquote mainstream? What is going to be a little underground or whatever? But so, yeah, I guess like what is selling right now? I guess, do you know what's selling right now? What's in the blue chip galleries now?
In the blue chips. I've been out of the art world for a little bit, so I'm not on the up and up of what's actually in like those blue chips. Right now, because of the Black Lives Matter movement from June, there a lot of galleries have been restructuring and redoing how they're showing artwork to be more inclusive. The art world is very much so that straight white male.
Yes.
Yeah. As everywhere else, you know. So, and again, that is speaking within the zeitgeist. This is what's happening right now. This is what's going to sell because people want to show support.
Yeah.
And then there's also a big movement of, I would almost call it cartoonish artwork.
Okay.
Like Cause. There's this artist named Cause who's actually, he just had a opening at the Brooklyn Museum yesterday.
I'm looking him up right now.
K-A-W-S. You've probably seen his work.
Oh, yes. It looks like, for the listeners, if you're if you'd also like to look them up, it looks like an interesting Mickey Mouse, as I would, like a puffy. It's cute. It's interesting. It's very interesting. So sorry. So Cause, that's Cause. So he's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that sells really well.
Okay.
To go back to our question of like how I show my work, I tend to go after the smaller galleries. And with those smaller galleries, now that most things are online, it's a lot of following the gallery. It's liking and interacting with posts. It's keeping an eye out for calls for art and then submitting that way. It's also, even if you can only get into like a small group show, that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So if my print is among 100 other pieces that are similar, I can still put that on my resume and then other galleries can connect it back to there.
Wow. I just love figuring out like the to-dos of different art worlds, because it's like, all I know obviously is like how to do an acting resume, but like I never even freaking thought of like these are the galleries that I've been shown in, like besides a portfolio. That's what I would connect with artists, visual artists. I never thought like, yeah, these are a list of like all the galleries that I've been shown in. Wow, Sloan, that's good for me for connecting those dots.
The place that I show my work the most is actually a tattoo shop.
I love that. So have you designed any tattoos? Is that something that interests you or you're not?
At one point I did want to be a tattoo artist, but then I, after knowing some tattoo artists, I kind of strayed away from that because it's just, it's more work than I really want to put into it.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole, like,
I feel the customer
insurance thing. Being around people a lot.
Yeah, I also feel it's like you're not really doing, I mean, 9 times out of 10, you'd be doing what, like, this is a piece that I like, I'm putting it on this person, but I feel it's like, you'll get that customer that's like, oh, can you change this, I don't like that. And it's like, well, this is my art, like, this is what I present to you. So it's like, that's where I would struggle if I was a visual artist, of like, well, this is my piece, like, if you want this piece on you, I will put this on you. But that's, and I feel with you doing galleries, like, it's like, well, this is what I present. Like, I'm not changing it for anyone. And I think that's cool. Yeah. Nah.
Like of the tattoo artists that I know, a lot of them, it is the stupid, like, feather bursting into birds. It is the infinity symbol with your kid, Caden, Zayden, Hayden, whatever the hell.
Oh, no. It's very white lady tattoos.
Yeah. It's a lot of that to pay the bills. Yeah. But then I also know a couple of artists who are like, this is my flash sheet, which flash sheet is like, they're like little pre-designed $200 to $300 pieces that you can just choose and have it done. But then they also like won't accept work outside of their style.
Yeah, I want a tattoo, but I'm too fickle. I'm too fickle with my ideas. So I'm trying to find one that, I don't know, maybe you'll design my tattoo. Maybe that'll make me feel a lot better. But since we're talking about artists, do you have any favorite artists or pieces that really stand out to you or have inspired you in any way?
That's a really hard question. I have a lot of favorites from different genres.
Okay.
Like, in terms of painting, I would say, like, Bourgeois, who was this, I think it was during the 1800s, mid-1800s. He would do these really gorgeous, entirely lifelike oil paintings.
Ooh.
And there's this one piece of Dante and Virgil in hell. One of the shades from the Divine Comedy, they basically took Virgil and they're like pulling him and choking him with their knees in the back of his back and is biting his neck. And it's just such a gorgeous piece. Like, I live in that piece.
Is that anywhere besides, I mean, obviously online, anyone can look at, you know, art online, but to see it in person, is it in New York or is it anywhere?
It is not in New York. It's in France. It's in Paris.
All right, guys, let's go. Field trip to France.
Field trip time. But there are Bourgeois pieces at the Met in the painting section.
Nice. Well, I'm going to have to braven up and go. Maybe I'll go in the morning. Hopefully no one will be there in the morning. It'll be nice. They're doing 25%, I think, capacity. So
yeah. Right now is actually the best time to go to museums in New York because there aren't any tourists. Go first thing in the morning. You will have the place to yourself.
All right. That's what I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna do that on Monday.
Do it.
My little treat to myself for finally cleaning up my old apartment and being completely done with that place. So I love that. I can't wait to see some of his pieces. I'm very curious.
And some of my others, again, from painting, Georgia O'Keeffe, I could die in her paintings.
Oh, yes. I love her. It looks like a vagina, obviously, like we all know that, right? Like, it's like, is that like a joke, I feel, in the art world of like, okay, so we all know this is a, like, a vagina, like we're staring at one, like, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, cool. Like, I hope this is not just me being an asshole and being like, that's a pussy. Like, anyone else seeing this? Like, I don't, but good for her.
It's highly abstracted, but it is derivative of a vagina.
But I love it because of that. It's very feminine and very powerful in that femininity.
Yeah. And so I grew up in Utah and I grew up going to the desert and spending a lot of time in the desert. So I really connect with her pieces that take place in the desert. I can feel the sun. I can feel the sand under my feet. I can smell the sage. Yes. It is wonderful.
This visualization. I think I'm feeling the sun and the sand now. Oh my goodness.
I also really love Dali. I love surrealist work. It is a huge influence on my work.
Dali is, I remember there was a special exhibit. I forget where it was. I'm not to bragging, but I go to a lot of museums. But they were having some of his films being shown. And there was the one where he cuts the eye, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. And I remember just being like, this, so ahead of its time. Even that they collaborated with Disney. I mean, obviously after his passing probably, right? Or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, he was still alive when he did it.
Mm.
and it was done in collaboration. I don't know that it was very widely released, but I have seen that film.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I love, and the music as well. It's fantastic. Check it out, guys. It's really cool. It's moving art. It's fucking awesome.
I really love Kenda Wiley. He is a Black artist who recreates these classical European paintings with Black people. He actually did Obama's presidential portrait.
Oh my gosh. I'd like to move on to another talking point of maybe the issues facing contemporary art world environment. Is it like, I don't know if it's, let's talk about it. I'll have you kind of take the reins on that.
Yes. So there are, in contemporary art, there are a lot of issues. Yeah. One being support. Especially during this time.
Yeah.
It's like art institutions are really suffering right now.
Yeah.
Because people aren't willing, or they're not willing, or they're not able to, or they, you know, for whatever reason, don't want to go out.
Yeah.
To see and support these institutions. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Like, it's really crazy how, like, I think of museums that were shut down. I think of theaters that are being shut down, and it's like, and people say like, oh, well, like art didn't, like the, in a wide thing of art, like a wide umbrella of art, like art didn't really, it's very, God, words today. It's very replaceable or like not necessary, but I don't think so, because it's like, okay, we've been trapped in our apartments for over a year. What have you been doing in this past year and a half? You've been watching TV, you've been looking at Instagram, and you've been listening to podcasts. All three of those are entertainment and art. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what real, like, it's not replaceable. It's not, you can't, like, we need it to live. If we did not have any visual stimulation, any, like, anything, we would be in a worse situation mentally than we already are. And I really, it hurts me when people are like, oh, well, like, we don't need a museum. Like, all these theaters, some museums are closing, and they're like, okay, like, people don't really care. And that really hurts. It's so sad, because it's like, this is what makes life, like, colorful.
Yeah. I mean, like, despite the jobs that are being lost, the creative jobs that are being lost, with collecting institutions like museums, you have to consider that they keep the lights on and they protect artwork and they protect these objects. Mm-hmm. And these objects will not be around if they're not being protected. Like, the Met right now is going through a huge controversy of selling off and deaccessioning some of their pieces because they simply cannot afford to keep doors open.
I did not know that at all. I guess I never really think of those big museums running out of money. I guess I never, like, you look at the big building and you're like, oh, well, I mean, like, they have the money. Like, what? Like, I don't know. That's kind of a silly thing to think of, but you never really think of these big staple, like Guggenheim, Met, like those big staple museums of like, oh yeah, they need patron contributions. I can't not speak to them to go. And since we can't really freely go, they're suffering. And it's sad.
Yeah. So go see museums right now.
Yes. Go see museums in the mornings. You'll have the whole place to yourself. We'll all go together and stay 6 feet apart.
Yes. Yeah. And like with the deaccessioning pieces, there's also this ongoing conversation of giving artwork back to the cultures from which they were taken. Like
the whole Met.
Yeah, like the entirety of the Met.
Like the entire first floor of the Met that has every, I think it's the artwork from China, artwork from Egypt, all these artifacts. And I would always go in there and be like, so all this shit was stolen and we're just like displaying it, like, what, it's pretty terrible. I don't know. It's a give and take. Cause like, I love witnessing that, but it's like in the back of your head, you're like, ooh, I feel icky about this. This is not good. Yeah.
Yeah. There has been an increase of transparency of the provenance of artwork, which is where, like, how this piece came into the collection. Mm-hmm. And if you look on a lot of like the Met's pieces in their expansive online library, which I would, if you have an afternoon that you just want to like sit around and look at art, I would highly recommend going on museums' collection pages. Mm-hmm. In fact, the MoMA, theirs is called the Dada Base. Instead of the database, it's the Dada Base.
Oh, I love that.
But you can see the provenance of where these pieces came from, and a lot of them are institutional. So like a lot of the Egyptian pieces were from the museum funding archaeologists to go to Egypt and take these pieces, which is colonialist bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
But at the same time, these pieces are distributed around the world where everyone can learn about them, and it's much more accessible for people to learn about them because Cairo has the most incredible museum of Egyptian artifacts, and they have the right to take care of those pieces. Absolutely. I like being able to go to museums and see those objects myself, though, because I may never make it to Cairo.
And I don't know if there's a quick answer to it, but I'm just there
is no real answer.
Yeah.
I believe that these pieces should be given back to the cultures from which they came upon request, because there's no reason that these cultures couldn't take care of their own artwork or whatever the hell they want to do with these pieces. They don't have to keep them around for prosperity if they don't want to.
Yeah.
But to take something from their ancestors just for a bunch of mouth-breathing tourists to look at.
Yeah, to gawk at. I don't know if that's...
Yeah. But I think the institutions also need to do the legwork there of explaining... explaining what it is, the importance of it, and shining it in the best light.
Yeah, showing respect to the culture where it comes from and the location of, like, this is not just a pretty thing, like, here's the story behind it and this is how it got here. And just total, I feel you're correct, total transparency. Just be transparent. So this last, I guess, topic I want to talk about that I feel with theater school the same sort of way. But is art school worth it? Because I think of in my personal case, I went to acting school, and as much as I enjoyed my time, I think I could have done something else and still been in the same situation that I am right now. So, and I wouldn't be, people wouldn't be as much in debt. So I don't know if you feel the same way, because I know it's totally different, probably with artists, visual artists, because you have to learn all of these things. It's not just like an actor is just like, go feel, like you have to feel, it's all about fucking feelings. But you guys actually have to physically learn things, and it's like, where did this type of painting come from? What is, well, you know, all of that. So I guess I want to toss that question to you.
Yeah, with studio practice, which would be like the physical act of creating art, I think that it is important to go to art school because it forces you to learn the basics. Like, if I didn't take 3 fucking years of figure painting and drawing, I wouldn't know my proportions.
Yeah, it's drilling it in. It's like practicing. It's like you're literally doing it.
Yeah, and it, depending on school, the school that I went to, my program made us take all different medium classes. Mm-hmm. So like I took painting, I took drawing, I took sculpting, I took photography, and I took a design class. Like I had to learn all of that.
Yeah.
And as a printmaker, as a block printmaker, I learned how to approach all artwork in a three-dimensional holistic manner.
That's fucking cool.
Another important part of it is the critique aspect. And
I am.
Everyone hates critique.
Yes.
But you need to learn how to correct your artwork, and you need to learn how to properly take criticism in order to become a better artist. I will never forget, I was in like an advanced figure painting class, and I still have this painting hanging up in my bedroom. I was painting our male model from behind with gorgeous red light on it, and the professor comes up behind me and he stands there for a minute, and I'm starting to get nervous, like, why is he looking at my painting? And then he just whispers in my ear, the ball crack is crooked. So I corrected
it. If I had a nickel. Every single time I heard that, man.
So the critique is really important. And once you get out into the actual working artist world, you don't have that same sense of critique. Like I can go to my artist friends and ask them about certain things, but you need to build that up in your head of looking at things differently. And also you need to learn that all art is plastic. At any point, you should be able to destroy your work and start it over again. And you can't be precious with things, which
I agree applies to everything, life. applies to life. Oh my gosh. I agree with that. I often am very protective over my sketches, not art sketches, but my comedy sketches that I write. And it's like, if I ever have to scrap it and start over, it hurts. And I sometimes, combat it with like, no, it doesn't need any fixing. It doesn't need any, like, cause I'm lazy and I don't want to redo it. But I guess with critique, I understand technicalities. Like, yes, the butt crack is crooked, but what if that was your intention? Like, no. I want the butt crack to be crooked because the male toxic masculinity, you know, it's like you can, I love contemporary, I love art, but I feel you could do that with anything. It's like, well, Picasso was an asshole. I mean, whatever, but like his eyes are not where eyes should be, but like no one's telling him, hey, dude, the eyes are crooked. Like, I don't know. I guess like what blurs the line of like, are like, this was intentional, so like that note, I guess, I mean, you could either take the note or not, but
yeah,
I guess what is the line blur there?
I think if you're going to be intentional with crooked butt cracks, you need to run with it.
Okay, then everything's crooked. If the butt crack's crooked, everything's crooked.
Yeah, you need to run with it,
because I think everything can be art. Like anything can be. If I could look at that sphere and say, yep, that's art. Like what else is art? Like what my dad always says whenever we would go to those museums, and I'd be like, I could do that. That would be, you know, the quote, everyone be like, I could do that. It's like, it's nothing. Like the famous, I mean, I think it's in MoMA, the famous all white painting. It's just a white canvas or a blue canvas, I think. And I would be just like laughing. I'd be like, what? I could do it. Like it would take me 5 minutes. And my dad's like, but you didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't do it. And this person did, this artist did. And I think that's, I always get people with it too. Cause ever since he said that to me, I keep it because it is a great thing. It's like, yeah, I didn't do it. I didn't come up with that idea first and I didn't put it out there. So yeah.
I believe that everyone can make art, mm-hmm. but not everyone can be an artist.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
You know, anyone can do paint and sip. Yeah. Anyone can do, you know, anyone can do, like, Barbara can just make a live, laugh, love sign with her cricket and call it art.
Yes.
But that doesn't make Barbara an artist.
Correct.
What makes you an artist is having that eye. Mm-hmm. And there's almost like this, and I know that you would understand this through mm-hmm. being a comedian, but there's almost like this suffering and mental illness behind it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And it's also like a need. It's like, yeah. It's like, I need to do this or I will perish. Like, it's yeah. such I'm sure you feel it with your, it's like, if I don't block print, I'll literally become a puddle on my floor of like emotions that I get. Like, I get frustration out through telling jokes. I get, you know, yeah. it's like all of those feelings. I think that's what you just said. Like, that's what makes an artist. If you need to do it for you to properly live, then that is a notch in, yep, you're one step closer to being a true artist.
Yeah, like I emote so much through my work, mm-hmm. through the creation of my work. It's not necessarily what you see in the end product, but like yeah. part of my process, and this is almost the reason why I have to have a day job as well, mm. is that I feel everything so much all the time as an empath, mm. and I have to channel all of that into my work.
Yeah.
And if I had to feel that all the time, mm. I would be miserable. I couldn't yeah. be a full-time artist all the time because I need a distraction from feeling all those intense emotions.
Yeah.
You know, to quote the great Ongo Kablogian.
Yes, of course.
Artists must suffer for their art. That's why it's called painting.
I'd put that on a t-shirt, guys. That's freaking cool. But let's take another break. That's a great segue into a break. And then we'll be right back with questions. All right. Bye. We are back. We're entering our question portion of the podcast. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please follow at Grandma's Basement Pod on Instagram or me at Forever a Sloan on Instagram. Just keep an eye out for the stories. I'm going to post the topic, who our guest is, and you can ask a question related to the topic and you could end up on the podcast. So that's really cool. Our first one is from Will. He says, is it possible to, quote, sell out when so much art is made for compensation?
Yes.
Consumption. I messed consumption. Up. I have dyslexia, so I heard I read compensation, but it's consumption.
Same difference, honestly.
Yeah.
So I believe so. Artists have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And amen. There are pieces that are made to be shown and there are pieces that are made to be sold. Mm. Like personally, I have a lot of work that I only show in galleries that I don't necessarily sell. Mm. And then I have works that are smaller that I sell for, you know, $10, $15. Mm-hmm. Helps me buy some groceries for the week.
Yeah.
I previously have worked in artist studios and mm. I worked in the gallery of Swoon, who is a street artist. She's actually mm-hmm. one of my biggest influences, but I worked in her studio mm-hmm. and whenever I would work in her studio, she was preparing for a major show. Mm. So I would help her create the work that is being shown in the in the museum or the gallery or the institution, whatever. Nice. But then I was also helping her with the smaller pieces that she creates to sell off for a couple thousand dollars to fund
the big pieces. Yeah.
To fund the big pieces, to fund the just like the daily goings on of being an artist, because it is business.
Yeah.
Running her studio is a business. So like she created series of prints that she would sell for a couple thousand dollars. She would have like actual sculptural pieces that she would sell for a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
And then that was what paid for her to be able to create the artwork that is being shown in the big museums and galleries.
So yeah, I feel that's with every artist. I feel it's like, and I think I hate the term sellout, because you know, thinking of like musical artists when they're like, oh man, like you sold out, you're doing Jimmy Fallon or like whatever. It's like, oh man, you sold out, like a visual artist, like, oh, you sold out, you're doing art for a pop band that no one likes, or like whatever, you know. Isn't the goal to do that? Like to be, I don't know. Everyone's personal goals are different, so I should preface with that. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you feel about the word sellout, but like, I don't know. Isn't the, my personal goal is to get my art to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So
exactly. It's exposing your work to more people to quote unquote sell out. It's like getting a market share of something.
I have a question. This one's mine. This is our last question. So I see a lot of, I'm an Etsy whore. I am always on Etsy. I love Etsy so much. I have a lot of friends that are on Etsy, and they make amazing work as well. I just got a bunch of resin art supplies. Keep an eye out, guys, because I'm about to pop off. I also ordered clay. You know those TikTok videos of like people making those like ashtrays that look like with the strawberries with like weird eyes? I don't know. I love it, and I want to make
nightmare fuel.
Yes, but I love it, and I just want to produce a bunch of those. But I see a lot of, I guess, stolen online art. So how big of a problem, I imagine it's an immense problem, because I see these prints being sold on Etsy or, you know, on Instagram, people show their work, and instead of commissioning someone for it, they could just take a screenshot and have it.
It's a huge problem of art being stolen. And I need to hear better about doing this, but a friend of mine who's a tattoo artist, she actually stopped posting her flash sheets just like as art pieces, like a digital art piece. And she started having it like pulled up on her iPad and then like at an angle so that it can't just be straight up stolen. I've had my artwork stolen a couple of times. I submit my work sometimes for like contests or something. And when I enter those contests, in the terms of service, if you enter, they straight up own the artwork, and they don't have to do anything to like give you credit or anything. So a couple of years ago, I submitted some artwork for a single album artwork for a band that I really, really love. And it had like a very specific symbol on it.
Yeah.
On the piece. Then maybe a year later, the band is releasing a side project. And what is their logo? The symbol I made. So I'm flattered, but
pay me for it. Like, honestly, or I guess watermarks kind of ruin the post. But like, I don't know how to, I don't know. I just see that all the time. And like TikTok, basically I see videos of, because I like a lot of interior design, and so I follow a bunch of people on there. I'm on interior design TikTok. And they, I saw a video of, you guys, I here's a tip for getting free artwork. And literally she was just stealing people's artwork. And the thing, the video had a million likes. And I was like, this poor, this girl is stealing from these artists, and it's like now a million people are stealing from these art, and I get a little upset, because the same thing with comedy writers. There's the, you know, SNL sometimes puts out like, oh, you can send in a packet, and in the small writing on the bottom says, if we don't pick it, like give, if we don't give you a job, we can still use your sketches, like, and if you see a similar sketch or your sketch on TV, like, we don't pay you for it, but because you just gave that to us. That's why I refuse to send in any of those things, because I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not giving you my good stuff for you just to take it and not give me a job. No. Yeah, it really grinds my gears when people do that, because it's just, you're, especially now, especially in this pandemic, when it's like, you know, being an artist of any kind is, we're all struggling.
I recently, I was working with this group that does activist artwork, and they asked me to provide some artwork, and it's a nonprofit. It's a great cause. I did it for free. No problem. Happy to help, happy to support. And the movement that was created took off so quickly that my artwork was put everywhere. And I was credited when it was through their channels, but then I started seeing like people taking my artwork and using it as their profile pictures. And I saw like a National Geographic photographer using my artwork as their
profile picture.
But then I also can't be that mad, because that same piece I took and I repasted it all over the city. And at one point I was kind of checking up on one in my neighborhood, and I noticed that it was falling off, and they just ripped it off the wall. So like, what?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's hard, because I mean, you want to, I don't know. It's like, I want to create art and I just want people to see it, but it's like, we need to eat. So it's that line of, you know, especially now I'm like such in this like pandy mode of like, look, we're all struggling, especially artists, like just fucking help us out. Yeah, but let's take a final break and then we'll be back with our final thoughts. How about that?
Perfect.
Are back with our final thoughts from Carly Anderson. Carly, give us your final thoughts on art.
My final thoughts. Support living artists. Collect while they're young.
Yes.
Go to museums right now, because institutions are hurting, and it is the absolute best time to go to museums, because no one is going to museums. Yeah. So you have it all to yourself. Even better. Go out there and create artwork. Even if you're not good at it, just go out there.
Yes, I love that. I'm going to go out today and I'm just going to just make an art piece. I don't know what it's going to be. Good. It doesn't have to be good, because all art is art. All art is valid. You hear me, world? Well, Carly, do you have anything to promote that you want the kids at home to know about?
Yes, you can follow my Artstagram at @inkling_prince, plural. You can also find me with the same at on TikTok, and you can see the working process of me making my work. I also show you my cats a lot on that because they're my little studio assistants. My website where you can view my full art portfolio is kandersonart.com.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Carly, for being on here. And thank you guys for listening. Make sure to follow, subscribe, rate. It really helps me out if everyone gives me a review. So, thank you for listening to Grandma's Basement. We will be back next Friday. As always, have a great day. All right, bye.